And now, live from the Eagle Newsroom in Bryan, it's Aggie Nation, covering Aggie football since the first game in 1894 and every game since. Talking all things A&M and all the pro and high school sports you want to hear. Aggie Nation on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Afternoon. Welcome to Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, and Larry Bowen back again.
Aubrey, I want to personally welcome you back from Hoover and the SEC Media Days, and also just want to say how proud I am of the fact that the little bit that we did here with the high school and the news at the end of the show. The fact that we're back on the air today makes me feel pretty good about the whole process.
Yeah, they didn't kick us all off last week, so we're all still back here, and we are back again live from the newsroom in Bryan. We are brought to you by MSE Opus. Check out all the great events coming next season at mseopus.org. It's the season that dreams are made of, and there's lots of cool shows that are part of that, so again, check that out, mseopus.org. You can call us, 693-1150. You can text us, 229-1939. And the text line is going to be important today, Larry, because gone all last week, got back later on Friday, went directly to a wedding that I was in, was doing all that stuff Friday, Saturday. Yesterday, I'm not going to lie, I slept all day. I watched golf, watched the Astros and the Rangers, then I was pretty much asleep the rest of the time. So I don't even know what's going on. So if y'all want to talk about something, hit us up, 229-1939. What are your topics? What conversations are you hoping to have today? What have you heard too much of or not enough of? We want to know all of it. Again, 229-1939. We will start off with the news of about 5 minutes ago, Larry. That is Zach Johnson, your 2015 British Open champion after a four-hole playoff.
He's the champion golfer of the year.
Yes, he is the champion golfer. It was so dramatic that when Jordan Spieth didn't make a putt on 17, it was almost, you know, Spieth has been so clutch, he's been so good, that it wasn't a putt that necessarily he should make, but it's a putt that he could have made, and he's been so good, that's like when he missed it, it's like watching your favorite show, like, go off script. You know, it was like, oh, this is... Maybe he's not going to win. You know, it was kind of shocking to see him actually miss a putt, but he did.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, Aubrey, if I'm not mistaken, it was 16. I guess it could have been 15. I think it was 16 when he poured the thing in from about 20 feet or so to get up there and put himself in position. He was tied for the lead, and you knew 18 was a possible birdie hole, and then when he made the bogey at 17, I still, you know, expected him to make a birdie on 18.
I thought he was going to hole out on 18.
Yeah, and at least get into the playoff, but it was really kind of must-see TV, the way the leaderboard changed and the you know, from the very beginning, it was just crazy. The young amateur, the guy was from...
The UAB.
Yeah, the recent grad from UAB. He started off the first two holes like he was going to shoot 111 or something like that. And it, from then, I mean, it just... But I have to confess, I don't want to do this, but I have to do this, that it's all my fault because nobody that I root for ever wins anything.
Oh, that's not
And the two people that I was rooting for were Jason Day and Jordan Spieth.
Now, how about Jason Day with the pulling out the putter from behind the bunker, wraps it around gets it within 4 feet, and then also didn't sink a putt on 18. I thought he might have had it too. Yeah, didn't get in the playoffs.
I just couldn't believe he left it short. And neither Spieth nor Day got it close enough. When you're on a hole that, I mean, those guys can almost drive that hole, and you have got to give yourself a decent look. It's what Oosthuizen did. You know, he made it on 18 to get in the playoff. Didn't make that last one on 18. But it's funny because I saw on Twitter one of the guys that I follow is Danny Davis, a high school writer for the Austin American Statesman, and his comment when Jordan was eliminated was pretty funny because it was like goodbye golf 2015.
that's been
such a story.
Yeah, well, and could he win the third one? He's right. Following in the steps. The last time Tiger Woods won the first two and fell one stroke short at the British. So anyway, it was a fun day this morning. A friend of mine said that all majors should end on Monday. I said I didn't like it. I was trying to like set up the show and figure out who was leading. Plus, I was listening to it on Watch ESPN on my phone, and you're about 30 seconds behind live action. I don't like that.
Well, the whole time difference of 6 hours is bad for me because it's two weekends in a row, Aubrey, because you have the men's final at Wimbledon
yeah.
and then the British Open, and I get up and go to church, and it's like, okay, the men's final, they've split the first two sets. You know, and it's going to the third set, and it looks like it could be a classic. And I leave for church and come back. It turns out that was Federer's kind of last gasp, and the next two go quickly. And then yesterday I thought, well, at least it got pushed back to Monday.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
I don't have a final round in church conflict. And then you pull me in to do 2 hours on the radio.
Well, you know, that's what we do, Larry. Someone texted, you know, again, 229-193 on what y'all want to talk about. Someone said, let's talk about Spieth being mature beyond his years as he demonstrated in the end of his final open round. Someone said the post-round interview was all class. And then the same person said all Longhorns are golf fans these days. Just look at our football team. So I will say, I was going to mention this on the show, you know, we and everyone really make fun of the Longhorn Network a lot because there's just not a lot on it. They waste a lot of airtime on, you know, old games and stuff that no one's really watching. Yesterday, I thought the Longhorn Network did a really good job. Somebody really smart at ESPN, the Longhorn Network yesterday was just an ISO cam on Jordan Spieth. I don't know if you saw that.
I didn't.
But, it was pretty good. It was just him. It was just him the whole time. So if you're a Longhorn fan only watching to see what Spieth's going to do, that was the channel for you.
Well, I tell you what, answering the person who sent that message in, I just love that kid. It's easy not to be a fan of pro golfers. You know, a lot of them grew up on, you know, at the country club and the Silver Spoon and all that. And I do know that Jordan's probably got some of that background in him, but the thing with his sister who's got a disability and how he takes care of her and just the class that he's shown and the way he's the grace that he's handled these things. Aubrey, it's just nuts. He's 21.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you just don't even think that he's 21 because he's doing all these things. You know, the guy he was his playing partner today, Jason Day, I've been a fan of his for a long time, and he seems young to me, and he's way older than Jordan Spieth.
You forget that because he is so mature the way he handles it, and he looks a little bit older as part of it, too.
And he should probably would have been a senior at UT this year, is that right?
Yeah, right. If he would have stayed for 4 years, I think this would be his final year there. But, you know, like, for example, when I watch the Astros, we're going to talk about them a little bit later on, Carlos Correa is 20 and seems like he's 20. Yeah. I mean, he's like a kid out there, not in the way he plays, but just how he looks and all that kind of stuff. That's not the case with Jordan Spieth, who, like I said, like the texter said, is certainly mature beyond what you'd expect for someone his age.
Well,
and handled today's loss pretty well.
Oh, yeah, just a classy kid, and I think that'll serve him well. I think he will win a lot more majors. You know, another thing, we get a little crossover thing. I know you guys just got back from the SEC Media Days. Now the Big 12 Media Days are going on,
and
a friend of mine put on Twitter today that he thought the Big 12 should add Jordan Spieth as its 11th
as
team.
As an 11th team. Yeah, I saw that. They were also joking today about all of the media there. Someone took a photo from the back of the room, and you could see all of the people that were watching the British Open on ESPN3 instead of paying attention to what was going on up on stage. We are going to talk a little bit about the Big 12 later on because the Big 12, it's an interesting league this year. It has two powerhouse teams for this season, at least as far, not necessarily over the course of a decade, but right now, two powerhouse teams that on the grand scheme of college football, nobody really cares about. Neither one of them have a lot of fans. I want to talk about that. And then also, the Big 12 announced an odd rule change today that I'm going to be a little critical of later on because I think it's sort of a self-aggrandizing move and not one that's actually going to affect anything. So we're going to hit on that a little bit later on as well. So about Big 12 media days. But up first, we're going to go to break. I don't mean to cut you off, Larry.
Well, no, I'm just going to say, though, I also want to get a little review of your trip. I know you guys were on every day. But
Yeah.
We need some highlights.
Yeah, we're going to look back on SEC Media Days. First, though, we're going to go to break and then come back. You got a chance to do something last week that not a lot of people have gotten to do yet. I think fans are going to be interested in it, and we're going to talk about that. When we come back, hit us up, 229-1939. What do y'all want to talk about? What are your topics, your debates, whatever you got? Send it to us. We'll be back. We'll talk about it. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
Summer is here, so it must be Harvest Festival time. Make plans now to join the Messina-Hoff Winery family every weekend in August for the 38th annual Harvest Festival. Enjoy grape picking, traditional grape stomping, wine and food pairings, specialty dinners, and so much more. Messina-Hoff's estate winery is located at 4545 Old Reliance Road in Bryan. That's the 38th annual Harvest Festival at Messina-Hoff Winery and Resort. Get all your Harvest Festival information online at messinahoff.com/harvest.
At Schlitterbahn, there's so much for my family to do. We need a checklist. Miles of slides, rivers, and waves? Check. Plus, Schlitterbahn welcomes picnics and has free parking and tubes. Estimated savings of $100? Check. We also love how we can float the day away and enjoy so much family fun together. Packing our summer with amazing memories? Definitely check. Hold on to every moment at Schlitterbahn.
Get discounted tickets and plan your stay at Schlitterbahn.com.
Welcome to the season that dreams are made of. The stars have aligned for a positively enchanting new Opus season. The main stage lineup features Beauty and the Beast, sponsored by Aggieland Credit Union, Million Dollar Quartet, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, Disney in Concert, magical music from the movies, and an opening night concert starring Voice Play, sponsored by Allstate. Season and single tickets on sale now at mscopus.org.
Green Teams welcomes the Texas A&M University Construction Science Department to its family of customers. Like many other businesses, Texas A&M's Construction Science Department uses Green Teams for interior landscaping. Green Teams also offers short-term plant rentals for events like weddings and conferences. Make your work environment more pleasant with plants. For more information about interior landscaping, call Susie Gallagher with Green Teams, 823-7551. Green Teams.
Attention men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, good evening, officer. A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says, I'm a catch, more than a guy who lives in his parents' basement and calls it my place.
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Listen to the Zone 102.7 in Sports Radio 1150 on your smartphone, tablet, or PC. Visit RadioAggieland.com.
Welcome back.
Toward your destination.
Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. It's Aubrey Bloom, Larry Bowen. Man, I don't know if my voice is going to make it for 2 hours. I'm working over here, but
bless your heart.
I got water. I got coffee. I got all sorts of things over here trying to help me out, but we will see. 229-1939, what's on y'all's mind today? What do you want to talk about? What are your big debates? Someone texted about SEC and Big 12 media days. We're going to get to the Big 12 here in a little bit. What I want to talk about first, Larry, and that's something that you got a chance to do last week because go behind the curtain here a little bit, and we put out the SEC, our SEC magazine, before the season starts. We kind of work on it throughout the summer. Rob and especially Josh and those guys are working hard out there on all that stuff each day, and a lot goes into it. Well, I don't want to give anything away. I don't want to spoil alert, but as part of our story on the cover, you got to interview one of the guys that was not at SEC Media Days, but probably the Aggie that most people expect to have the biggest season. The guy that if someone's going to win a national award, it could be this guy. That's Myles Garrett. You got to sit down and talk, or maybe stand up and talk. I don't want to misrepresent this here. But with A&M's super sophomore, how was he?
It was amazing. We, you and Cease were in Hoover, and we had a photo shoot set up, and it was with not only with Myles Garrett, but also with Alonzo Williams and Julian Obioha. And that's, you got to say, it's pretty good for the high school guy to get Obioha right off the bat.
Yeah.
It's not, I'm no Cease.
Well, you have 1,000% hit right now. You can only go down.
Talked to all three of those guys. That was last Wednesday while you guys were at SEC Media Days. And for those who don't know, and I think most of our listeners do, but I'm pumped up about this because I think this is something that I can bring to the table here that other than just the usual knuckleheaded stuff I have, but I got to interview Myles Garrett. Now that's not going to be an unusual thing in a few weeks because he'll obviously have a lot of attention. But because Kevin Sumlin doesn't let freshmen talk, the same thing happened when Johnny Manziel played. Nobody got to talk to Myles Garrett last year when he broke the SEC freshman sack record and was the Aggies defensive MVP. We got to talk to him on Wednesday, and it was fascinating. Aubrey, I'll say this, and this is almost me and you talking as much as us talking to the listeners. I think you and Cease and Richard and all the people that cover A&M are really in for a treat with Myles Garrett because he has star written all over him because not only can he play, and obviously I either – helping you guys out at the home games or watching on TV. I saw most of the games last year. But he has personality. He has charisma. He's well-spoken. You know, he didn't know me from Adam. He just was there for a photo shoot, and we talked. And it was fascinating. I just could not believe it. And he's one of those guys that I think just lights up a place. We were in the indoor facility. You say somebody lights up a room. I felt like he lighted up the whole indoor facility. And our listeners, I know, are going to just love the guy. And when they see clips of him, when they read stories about him. But I want to read you, and I just called this up on my computer because I transcribe my quotes from all the interviews. I just want to read you a couple of quotes, and these will obviously play very large in the story that I wrote. But I asked him, I said, nobody's got to talk to you. You can't, nobody talk to you. They don't know. I said, you had a pretty good freshman year, didn't you? This is his quote. I was disappointed in myself. Said, I feel like I could have done a lot better. I wasn't holding up enough against the run, and that's on me. I let that distract me, and you could see it in my production. And then this is the thing that Aggie fans are going to just salivate over. Said, and I quote, I want to be the best to ever play, and I want to have fun doing it. Hey, might as well set your goals high, right?
Hey, that'll work.
He said, I love playing this game, having fun out there with my team. If you love playing the game and you have fun doing it, why not be the best at it?
Well, I think that's the question we all ask ourselves.
And I have heard talk about this on our show, on some of the other local shows that cover A&M, and they saw him, you know, out at workouts before practice, after practice, wherever. And, I mean, I don't want to get into any kind of a starry-eyed fan thing, but he was the last one I talked to. I interviewed Alonzo Williams and then Julian Obioha, and then I talked to Myles Garrett. And by the time I was through interviewing the other guys, he was out messing around. He was messing around, throwing the football, fooling around and everything. And they came out in their, no shoulder pads, but in their jerseys, in their uniforms. Well, by the time we did the interview, he had taken that jersey off. I don't know if it deserves a bless his heart or a oh my God. But, I mean, all the things that I had heard, I mean, he does look chiseled. It looks like if you just punch something into the computer or ask God to make an athlete,
yeah,
that's what it would look like. It's frightening.
Yeah, he's a large individual. But
he's cut and ripped, Aubrey. I mean, it's like, so he looks like he should be doing, I don't know, man. He should be like the next Chuck Norris or something. But he was really impressive. And
so you're saying he's charismatic enough and built enough.
Well,
that if the football thing doesn't work out, he could become like The Rock in a few years.
Absolutely. But I'll tell you this, really, and our listeners and the people who read the story in the SEC magazine, they know about him physically and about his accomplishments. The thing that I think we found out Wednesday when we talked to him, and even though it was, you know, wasn't even over 10 minutes of the interview, but he is going to be a treat because he has a personality. And I have seen over the years, Aubrey, I've seen some great players come through here, some really special talents. And some of them have had that charisma, that way with people, that way with the media. Other ones didn't. That didn't mean they weren't great players. But it takes you up just a notch, and it really does help. And I just think our listeners, they should not be able to wait to hear what he's going to say and see how he says it. He was really, and the thing is, Julian Obioha is a great quote.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay, Miles, you know, what are you going to do? I said, this guy set the bar pretty high. He was really good. He talked about, you know, Coach Chavis coming in, the new style on defense, what he wants to do. It was really, really impressive.
Yeah, does he remind you of anyone as far as his personality? I mean, because there's different kinds of charisma. There's the Martellus Bennett, which is, I would say, a little on the goofy side.
Yeah.
There's the Gerard Johnson, who's certainly has his own style, but is a little more, I don't want to say subdued, but he'll crack a joke or two, but he's serious when he's with the media. Does Miles remind you of anybody?
Certainly he's not over the top, so he's no Martellus, that's for sure. I would say, and I'd have to ask you about this because I haven't been full time on the beat when these guys played, but you mentioned Gerard, and I interviewed Gerard several times and always loved him. I thought after I interviewed him after some really tough games, some losses, and I thought he was so classy. But the first guy that comes to mind is Von Miller. Now,
okay.
I didn't talk to Von that often. I've seen a lot of interviews with him, but a player that has a dynamic playing style, but this guy, he's not going to say, I don't think he's going to say goofy things. He's not going to come in the first day that y'all see him in the interview room and say it's Greg Hill time like Greg Hill did back in 1980, whatever it was. You know, we still remember that, his very first appearance. But I think he will be very quotable, very insightful. I don't think he's going to say anything outrageous. He's not going to do like
greatest.
No. But
stuff.
which you know, some of the guys back in the old days, was it Steve McKinney or Seth McKinney or Dan Campbell? Some of Luch's buddies, they used to be pretty good for the how much they hated Texas quotes and stuff like that. I think Miles will be a little more subdued than that, but I just think people are going to really like him. And when you have a guy with that much talent who has charisma and is well spoken, I just think it is set up for him. Now, you covered all the games. You tell me if he's going to take a step forward. If he has another great year and he's the way he is, if he's looking for an agent, I don't want to get anybody at A&M and mad at me, but he is star written all over him.
If you could buy,
and you have to chisel it in because you can't write it on him with a regular.
If you could buy stock in Myles Garrett, you're saying
I say he's a buy, definitely.
Yeah, he is an interesting, you know, the way that the SEC works this, so, and the way that college football works now, anyone who's pretty much any good goes pro. So, you know, he comes back as a freshman or as a sophomore and makes the all-SEC first team, despite, as he said, there was some holes in his game last year. Mm-hmm. Certainly he had some great games, and he had some games where he was well above average, but he and he admitted it, and the coaches have said it, he wasn't great against the run last year. In fact, certain teams would just run it right at him, right. Just to make him pick. He was, you know, he couldn't quite hold up all the time, so they'd make him pick inside or outside and run the other way. But if he can improve that, this guy, like you said, and you've seen him play, is as good as there's been. I mean, as at his level.
And to another thing, Aubrey, and you know this because you were much closer to the team than I was. He didn't go in any details, and he wasn't making any excuses. But he did say he had an injury that just slowed him a little bit and prevented him from doing some of the things that he wanted to do. This is another thing, I guess, trying to promote the story that I wrote for the SEC magazine, but I do think it's applicable, particularly because of what you talked about with Myles Garrett. And all three of the guys I talked to, Alonzo Williams, Julian Obioha, and Myles Garrett, those guys, their eyes were lit up because they said John Chavis is going to let them go. Yeah. He's going to turn them loose. They're going to be much more attacking than they were last year. Myles Garrett, he wasn't critical of the coaching staff or the scheme last year, but he did. Obviously, it was clear that he felt a little stifled, you know, that he would. And he said now this is like when he's in high school. They told him, just go. So to me, if you tell that guy, just go.
He's going.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting. I always think it's interesting when there is a big coaching change, because players don't want to, you know, throw an old staff under the bus or anything. But everyone we've talked to, Julian was at SEC Media Days, and like I said, you talked to the guys last week, and we heard from him in the spring. Everyone gets excited talking about the new style of defense and how it's going to look this season. So I think that's starting to bleed over into the fans a little bit, because the thing that the fans have said, you know, we made this joke at SEC Media Days that, you know, some of the Tennessee writers and LSU guys would come, you know, joke. They'd say, how do the Aggie fans like Chavis? And we'd say, well, you know, they're all in. They love him. And they'd say, well, you know, wait till they start giving up 3rd and 10s or 3rd and 15s, or, you know, 3rd and Chavis is always the big joke. Well, I said, you know, frankly, for A&M fans, getting to 3rd down is a major improvement. So they don't have to be that good. They could just be pretty good, and I think the fans would be okay with it. You know, like if they go from whatever they were last year to 50s, 60s, I think fans would be excited. But the way they keep talking, and I think the fans are trying to buy into it a little bit, there's a little bit of hope out there that maybe they could be even better than that with some of the guys that they have.
Let me ask you this, and it relates to the guys that I talked to last week. They're still some pretty serious questions at linebacker, right?
Yes.
Wouldn't you say there's more expectations or more talent and on the defensive line this year than at linebacker?
I think the thing with the defensive line is that we know a little more about them than we do with the linebackers. I think that, especially with Ataro Alaka, Sean Washington, some of the other guys that got hurt, and then A.J. Hilliard, who's coming back from a season-ending injury. How do those guys fit together? How can they play together? Who's actually going to be out there is a big question mark. I do think by mid-season, I think the linebackers, if they can avoid the injury problems, are in a little bit better shape, because, for one, I think A&M is going to be in a nickel a lot, which is going to take a linebacker away. But then also, I think, or not Nick, they call it the Mustang, or whatever they want to call it. But anyway, they're down a linebacker. But that I think they're going to be okay. The defensive line is what we know a little bit more about. We know who Julian Obioha is. We know who Myles Garrett is. We maybe don't quite know who he could be, but we already know he's pretty good. We think we know that Deshaun Hall is at least going to be decent on the other side. So I think there's a lot of potential there for the linebackers, but certainly we know less about them than we do the defensive
line. Well, and the reason I asked you is because I did talk to the three defensive linemen last week, and there were several interesting things that came out of it other than than just Myles Garrett. And Julian Ovieha, I'm sure he told you guys this at Media Days, he's going to basically play tackle and end, but Coach Chavis was moving him inside to fit the defense better, and he's gone from 260 to 280 and wants to put on more weight.
Yeah,
so
you
I'm
can
like,
tell the difference.
Julian, you dude, you can have I got plenty.
Try to give some away.
So and he said he's got a wonderful personality too. He's a great talker. He kind of grinned and he goes, "This jersey's a lot tighter than it used to be because of Coach Chavis." And then he also said, I find this very interesting. I don't know if it's been said on the record or if it's just one of those oh, by the way things, but I was asking him just how good the defensive line could be and the defense in general. And he said that Coach Chavis said he thinks they have the best pair of ends in the country. And I'm assuming that's with Deshaun Hall and,
yeah,
and Miles.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, you know, I think they have pretty high hopes for Deshaun Hall as well.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what he brings this year because he was a little bit disappointing to me last year. Now, he's also had some injury things that slowed him down a little bit, so we'll see how he does. We got to get to a break. Let's come back. Maybe we'll talk some more about this. Maybe we'll move on a little bit to looking back at SEC Media Days. But hit us up, 229-1939. What do y'all want to talk about, conversations y'all want to have? Let us know, 229-1939. We'll be back. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM. It was a week ago today, a Waller County jail inmate was found dead in her cell. The family of Sandra Bland has ordered an independent autopsy. A lawyer for the family expects results by Wednesday. A DPS trooper involved in the traffic stop that led to Bland's arrest was transferred to administrative duty after a preliminary investigation discovered violations of the DPS traffic stop and courtesy policies. Texas A&M is another step closer to breaking ground on a new student housing complex on West Campus. That's after Brazos County commissioners at their last meeting approved a $355 million bond issue. County Judge Dwayne Peters says A&M has an agreement with a nonprofit company to build and operate what will be more than 3,400 beds.
I'm not sure that they could just build them with all these amenities associated with them, but a public-private endeavor, they can do that sort of thing. And so they may be a little more upscale than just a regular old dorm.
Commissioner Kenny Mallard voted against the bonds after hearing no property taxes would be collected because it's located on university property. Peter says the appraisal district will have the final say. A&M system officials say more details, including a construction time, should come in the next couple of weeks. According to a public notice, the student housing is located in an area bordered by George Bush, Penberthy, Luther West, and Marion Pugh. And starting tonight, there will be various lane closures at the intersection of Texas Avenue and Villa Maria between 8 p.m. and 2 a.m. in order to activate the new temporary signals. Southbound lanes of Highway 6 at Boonville and William J. Bryan Parkway and westbound lanes of the bridge will be closed from 6:30 p.m. to 6:30 a.m. starting tonight through Friday to repair the bridge, which was damaged earlier this month. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
It's summertime and a great time for sizzling hot deals at Normandy Tractor. If you need an affordable Kubota tractor to get the job done and you need it now, come see Vernon and the guys at Normandy Tractor. At Normandy Tractor, you'll find a huge selection and great prices on all Kubota tractors and utility vehicles. And right now, get the best deal of the summer with a Kubota L2501F 25 horsepower two-wheel drive tractor with a 5-foot land pride shredder complete with an $800 finance rebate and a $500 cash rebate. Only $11,695 or 10% down in payments of only $156 per month. Normandy Tractor asks you, why buy new when you can buy used with prices and payments as low as these? Need to finance? Normandy makes it easy with zero down payment and 0% financing on all new Kubota tractors and lawn equipment. And remember, most any trade can be your down payment. Normandy Tractor, voted best of the Brazos since 2002. Remember to shop the internet specials at normandytractor.com. Located at the corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Normandy, Texas. And remember, nobody beats Normandy Tractor.
Come stand with the 12th man at all Texas A&M athletic events. You make a difference for our student athletes in our venues. Tickets are available at 888-99-AGGIE or visit 12thman.com/tickets. Thanks and gig 'em. Aggie fans, Texas A&M Athletics is always just a few clicks away on your digital device. Stay connected by following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Visit 12thman.com/social media for a complete social media directory.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, think of those businesses who sponsor the games of your favorite team. Businesses like Pioneer Steel, Rudy's Barbecue, Garland Shelton Imports, and Prosperity Bank. Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone HD.
Spend your weekdays with Tex Ags Radio, Louis Bellina, Aggie Nation, and Chip Howard. Spend your weekdays with The Zone, FM 102.7, and Sports Radio 1150.
Welcome back.
You see, I can make it rain.
Bloom and Bowen, B&B show today on Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. We're hanging out talking a little about A&M, and we thought we'd look back a little bit on SEC Media Days. I know Louis's doing his, SEC Rewind, I think, where they play some of the clips and some of that stuff. I think for us, the more interesting part of being down there all week is not so much what the people say, because you could go onto their post-spring press conferences, you're going to hear 80% of that stuff. But it's what do the people that cover those teams say? Because you get kind of an interesting look at the team you cover in a couple ways. You tend to know their weaknesses, but you also tend to undervalue them a little bit. You know, you tend to think that, yeah, you know, A&M's got some problems on defense, but, you know, that it's not going to be as big of a deal. You know, everyone kind of has that same approach. So you talk to the neutral guys, the guys that, you know, I'm interested. What does a guy that covers LSU think about A&M and Arkansas? You know, stuff like that I always think is interesting. And the thing we talked about on the show last Thursday on our final day down there, and it goes along with what you're saying with the John Chavis bit, Larry, and that's that I think people around the SEC, when they see Texas A&M this season, this is why I think they were voted sixth in the West, is they've got to prove something. They have to do something. I know that you can talk about how good the defense was in 2012. Yes, that defense was pretty solid. Yeah, that team had Mike Evans. Yeah, that team had Ryan Swope. And yeah, that team had some decent running backs. But that team was Johnny Manziel's team. And for the people around the country, for the people in the SEC, they want to see A&M and they want to see Kevin Sumlin do something without Johnny Manziel. And really, so far, they haven't done it. And this is what we talked about again on Thursday and why I want to bring it back up. You get the sense from talking to people that to where when A&M first came into the SEC, everyone didn't expect A&M to do anything. It was, this team is going to take their hits. You know, if they ever do compete, it's going to take them a while to get there. Was kind of what we heard from the people around the league. I think now the tune is a little bit different. And Larry, I want to see if you kind of got the same sense from being back here and seeing the quotes from around different people and all that kind of stuff. Of now, I think people expect A&M to make a move. The question, though, is it this year or next year?
Well, it's interesting, too. I know what you're saying, Aubrey, and the perspective from back here is funny because there were a lot of mixed signals coming out of SEC Media Days. They picked Bama to win the West, but Auburn to win the championship.
The other way around, yeah. No, Auburn to win the West and Bama to win the title.
But the perception, I think, the thing I heard, and you guys talked to who was the guy that you had on a couple of times? He doesn't cover a particular school, but he was on sometimes right before the high school report. Good Bull Hunting, or
Chuck from Good Bull Hunting.
He was real funny.
He kind of blogs about A&M and stuff. So, yeah.
But even some of the other people that you talked about, I had wanted to ask you and Cease how different this year felt from the first year because of the way that people looked at A&M, and you mentioned the fact that basically it was like people were very dismissive the first year, kind of patting them on the head and, yeah, thanks for coming and try not to get hurt while you're playing with the big boys and everything. It doesn't seem to be as much of that, but at the same time, I saw they were picked sixth. right, in the SEC West. So it's like it's a little bit of a odd, you know, kind of juxtaposition. People seem to give the program more respect, but still picked them sixth in the West. I think people, you know, in general, the people I hear on different shows and the things I read, you know, everybody still talks so much about the strength of the West. But I think the perception that I heard was that they had a good schedule this year, but next year was when the talent was supposed to be at its very best. Now, I don't know if that's assuming guys like Myles Garrett would play 3 years before he went to the NFL, and some of the other guys would mature in the last couple of recruiting classes would really pay off. But it just seems funny because I do think in general people aren't as dismissive of A&M.
How I worded it, I think in one of my blogs, was that the people there like the program, they just don't like the team. They think they're going the right way. They're just not quite sure that this team has it yet.
Well, I would really be interested to hear from you how the media that covers SEC, and you mentioned it just a moment ago, how people feel, because Kevin Sumlin came in here and they shocked a lot of people in that first year. And, you know, Johnny did what Johnny did. But I would think some of the people out there probably still have some questions, and you mentioned it. People probably want to see what he can do without that guy, without number two making miracles happen and stuff like that. And that would probably be I wonder if that's what a lot of the people out there are thinking about A&M, and maybe that's why they picked A&M sixth and not third or fourth or second.
Yeah, well, and I think you kind of hit on it there, though, that there's so much. It kind of goes to a lot of separate teams. That there's not a whole lot of star power in the league this year. And there's not one guy other than maybe Dak Prescott, but his team was voted seventh in the West, that you think, hey, this guy can put his team on his back and win a few games. A&M probably doesn't have one of those guys. If they do, it's probably Myles Garrett on the defensive side, but then you have the whole, you know, can a defensive end really take over a college football game? We don't see that very, very often. If they do, it's usually in a bizarre set of events, kind of like when Von Miller just dominated that 2010 Nebraska game. Well, the final score was like 9-6, so that helped a little bit. The thing is, I think people now see, and again, I think a big part of it is how much money A&M is willing to spend, not just on building a stadium, which gets talked about a lot, but more specifically on going out and hiring John Chavis. I think that was kind of a move that put some of the SEC, the old guard, you know, the old timers and those kind of guys going, okay, well then this program's here to play. If they're going to hire away a divisional rival's defensive coordinator, then they're here to be for the long haul. They're not just going to be here a flash in the pan, up and down type team. But they still don't like this team. There's too many unproven parts, I think, for most people.
I think that makes sense, and I think it's funny because people would regard Chavis's hiring as a big deal, but people still have huge questions about the defense, even with his hiring, and even with Myles Garrett. I think most of the people out there that I read and hear, people are really predicting big things for Myles Garrett. They think he's going to be one of the best players in the conference. John Chavis has proven on his record to be one of the better defensive players. Coordinators around, but I think people wonder about too many of the other spots and whether.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you ask, I think the average guy there, not someone that covers A&M and not someone who's like a national media, but just your average SEC beat guy, if they could name another A&M defender besides Myles Garrett, and that, you know, and maybe Julian Obioha, because his name was on the sheet of being there, who all they could name, I bet most of them wouldn't get any. A few might get Armani Watts. A few might get Ataro Alaka. But I bet for the most part, no one would know anybody. And I think that both works in A&M's favor because they were so young last year. But also that's why they're going to not get the respect in the polls. Like I said, people like the program. They like John Chavis. They think, yeah, in 3 years he'll make A&M a good defense. But they just don't see the people they have this year. And that's the big thing. And that's why we talked about it with recruiting. We've talked about it with fans a little bit this offseason, is that everyone and recruiting, like I said, we talk about recruiting too, is kind of in wait-and-see mode on A&M. Can they really take a step forward on the field? Because off the field, they've done it. It's they got to get there on the field.
Well, I think that's interesting, and it's another thing we could talk about, Aubrey, why you guys were over in Hoover last week on Tuesday, I think it was, on my quote-unquote day off. I ended up writing a story about Trendavian Dixon of Navasota committing to the University of Texas. And everybody, all the analysts, all the people online had him headed to A&M.
Yeah, and that's an interesting one, too.
And then before the day, what was it, a couple of days before that, Greg Little, the offensive lineman, opened things back up again. If people are waiting to see on recruiting, because I don't know how much those lists mean, Aubrey, you've dealt with recruiting a lot more than I have, particularly in the internet era, but clearly there's been some guys that they wanted who they've either lost completely in terms of a commitment or don't have anymore. And if some of those guys are waiting to see what happens this year, doesn't that just magnify everything? Because this season, am I wrong? I mean, you've been analyzing this since probably last January, but isn't this a season that could swing pretty wildly? I mean, it could be a pretty good season, but it's conceivable that it might not be too.
Yeah, this is what I'm calling like a program season. You know, not necessarily how good is this team, but how good is your program? And I think last year people expected kind of a step back. You lose Manziel, you lose Evans. You're gonna have a little up and down. But this is a program year. How good can you get with your guys in the boat? And we talked about this with Ole Miss. This is their first year with all Freeze's guys in the boat. If the roster isn't where it's supposed to be now, then that's the coach's fault in year four, and that's kind of what A&M's facing. Let's go to break. Come back. Let's see what the people want to talk about. 229-1939, if y'all have any thoughts on this, any questions y'all want answered, any of our opinions, hit us up, 229-1939. And we'll be back. We'll get to those. We might talk a little baseball. Who knows? It's a wide-open show today. Again, it's the Monday show. Everyone knows the Monday show always is a little
It's also the Monday show after you were
right, after I've been gone all week.
You were in Hoover, and you had a wedding,
right,
too.
Right. So it's whatever the people want. Let us know. Hit us up. We'll be back. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagles, Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
It's time for Tailgater Truths, presented by Dish. Truth number 29. Game day without HD is like a tailgate without bacon-wrapped bacon with a side of bacon. With the Tailgater from Dish, you get mobile satellite TV and quarterback sacking HD. It sets up in 15 quick minutes or less and automatically connects to a satellite signal. So the only games you're playing are the ones you want to. Plus, there's no long-term contracts. You can pay as you go. Or add the Tailgater to your Dish Home account for only $7 a month. So fire up the grill and the TV and start making tail greatness this season. Just be sure to use a napkin before touching that remote, Mr. Bacon Fingers. To learn more, visit dish.com/tailgate. Restrictions include prepayment of all monthly and one-time fees.
Here's Brad Beard of Intercon.
As the old saying goes, if your only tool is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. At Intercon, we have a full toolbox to meet your window needs. Perhaps your home is ready for a full retrofit to vinyl windows. This full replacement option beautifies your home while improving thermal efficiency, noise reduction, and dust penetration. On the other hand, your existing windows may just need some maintenance. The glass in your existing windows may be replaced, in many cases, upgraded to more efficient options. The mechanism in your windows can be replaced to allow the window to operate more smoothly. Maybe you just need solar screens on some windows to eliminate hot spots in your home that tax the air conditioning system and make some rooms unlivable. With the breadth and depth of Intercon's knowledge and product offering, we can find the solution that meets your needs and budgetary constraints. Trust your friends at Intercon to understand your needs and use the best tool for the job.
Whether you have new construction or an existing home, let the fine folks from Intercon help your home energy efficiency year-round. Call Brad Beard of Intercon today at 823-3639. That's 823-3639.
fall into fun with Bryan Broadcasting's Brazos Family Magazine. Find out how to keep your kids healthy with an article on the important checkups your child needs for back to school. And be sure to check out our after-school activity guide. Brazos Family is a local magazine full of local stories. For information about advertising in this back-to-school issue of Brazos Family Magazine, call Sam Jones at Bryan Broadcasting or email Sam at BryanBroadcasting.com.
At Schlitterbahn, there's so much for my family to do. We need a checklist. Miles of slides, rivers, and waves? Check. Plus, Schlitterbahn welcomes picnics and has free parking in tubes. Estimated savings of $100? Check. We also love how we can float the day away and enjoy so much family fun together. Packing our summer with amazing memories? Definitely check. Hold on to every moment at Schlitterbahn.
Get discounted tickets and plan your stay at Schlitterbahn.com.
Your home for Fighting Texas Aggie football. Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Tell me, mirror, what is wrong? Can it be my daylight clothes or is it just my daylight sunglasses? What I do ain't making.
Welcome back. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Aubrey Bowen, Larry Bowen. Looking back on SC Media, he's talking about A&M, talking about various things. A lot of the SEC coaches are up in the SEC coaches or at the, call it ESPN car wash, whatever. They just put them on all the different ESPN shows throughout the day. But Les Miles, they asked him earlier about satellite camps. And, you know, this has been a hot topic lately, Larry. A topic that, frankly, I don't think is really worth the time of day. But people keep talking about it, so we talk about it. They asked Les Miles if he was going to set up a satellite camp where he'd do it. He said he'd put it in Baton Rouge. I don't think that Les knows what satellite means. That's not how it works, Les. That's just a camp. If you set up a camp near where you are, that's a camp. I think you can do that.
Right.
But anyway.
Well, I saw online that my dear friend and the head coach at Baylor, Art Briles, was really unhappy about people coming into Texas and having in satellite camps. And then someone from the SEC Media Days, and I don't remember, you may remember, one of the coaches said, I don't think anybody from up north could come in here and get anybody.
Yeah,
good.
That was Gus Malzahn.
Okay.
And his point has been my point. If you're getting bent out of shape because Michigan is going to come down and recruit a kid out of Alabama, then you're not recruiting well enough. I mean, that's your own fault. That whole thing is why I've said that the satellite camp is something we're talking about. Real quick, because when we come back in the second hour, we're going to talk a lot about the Big 12, some new rules over there, teams are watching, players be like. Want to hit on baseball. The Astros-Rangers this weekend, I don't want to jump the gun here, Larry, finally had a little bit of a smell of maybe actual rivalry here. It seems like in watching yesterday's game and the night before, the teams may not be big fans of each other.
Well, in particular, the game, the middle game of the series that the Rangers actually won. I was listening online to that one, Aubrey, and they had the Rangers broadcast on. I'm used to listening to the Astros broadcast, and they talked about those guys were going nuts. They go like, man, there really is a rivalry. This means a lot more than some goofy silver boot or something like that. Because the benches did clear. No punches were thrown. But it was one of those things where tempers were up, emotions were up. They're in the same division. Now that the Astros are actually good enough to contend and you know, and to be more than just a bother, then it sets up to be a good rivalry. And the thing is, I can't say Odor's first name because it's like Ned. Anyway, the guy who got into the beef with Hank Conger, the Astros catcher, on that play after the benches cleared, he got a triple and started a big inning that actually proved to be the difference because the Astros came back and got a couple of runs. But the thing is, I saw the replays. He got a triple up Towles Hill, and he was screaming as he ran to first base. Now, that's when you get, you know, when you're yelling at each other, even in the middle of the play, you know, that's pretty good. And then yesterday, Dallas Keuchel comes back and just shackles him and throws seven shutout innings, career-high 13 strikeouts. But that wasn't all. He fired a few salvos after.